Have you ever looked at a complex calculation and wished you could just, see the answer instantly, faster than pulling out your phone? Imagine solving multi-digit multiplications or maybe even tricky fraction problems entirely in your head. No pen, no paper, no screen. If that sounds like a superpower you'd love to unlock, then welcome. Welcome to a deep dive into the fascinating world of mental math. Our mission today is to take this stack of pretty compelling sources. We've got YouTube tutorials, detailed magazine articles, encyclopedic entries, and really extract the most important nuggets of knowledge, these incredible shortcuts. We're not just showing you how, we're diving into the ingenious why behind them too.
That's exactly right. At its core, mental math is, it's simply the art of solving arithmetic problems without any external aids. It's different from what some might call Hauptschriftliches Rechnen, where you might jot down a few notes, maybe intermediate steps. And this isn't just some academic exercise. Mastering mental math makes countless daily tasks genuinely easier than quick calculations at the supermarket. Scaling a baking recipe on the fly, or even, getting a quicker grasp on your tax forms.
Tax forms, yes, please. But beyond just the practical stuff, it's a powerful brain trainer too, isn't it?
Absolutely. It sharpens your focus, helps you instantly estimate the plausibility of results.
Which is huge.
It makes it much harder to fall for a wildly incorrect answer, right? It simplifies more complex math because it teaches you to break problems down. And critically, it cultivates a deeper, almost intuitive feel for numbers.
A feel for numbers. I like that. So it's not just about speed. It's about a deeper understanding, a more agile mind.
Exactly.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Our first trick, one source called it a genular rehend trick, an ingenious calculation trick for multiplying numbers specifically between 10 and 19.
Yes, the teens trick.
Yeah, it's surprisingly effective and often catches people off guard with its simplicity.
It truly is elegant. Okay, so for any two numbers in that range, let's say 1A and 1B, here's how it works. First, you multiply their last digits, the unit's digits, A times B. You write down the unit's digit of that product. And remember, any tens digit, that's your carry.
Got it, the carry.
Second step, you take the entire first number, so 1A, and add it to just the last digit of the second number, B. Then you add any carryover from step one to that sum.
Right.
Finally, you just combine these two parts to get your answer.
Okay, let's try it. An example from the sources. 13 times 13. So first, multiply 3 by 3. That's 9. That's my last digit. No carry.
Right.
Then I take the first number, 13, add the last digit of the second number, 3. So 13 plus 3 is 16.
Yep.
Combine them, 169. Wow. Okay. That really does shave off a lot of steps.
It does. Now, maybe try 15 times 15.
Okay, 15 times 15. First, 5 times 5 is 25. So write down the 5, carry the 2. Then 15 plus the 5 is 20. Add the carry 2, that's 22.
Perfect.
So combine those. 225. Nice.
What about, say, 15 times 13?
The 15 times 13. Okay. 5 times 3 is 15. Write down 5, carry 1.
Yep.
Then 15 plus 3 is 18. Add the carried 1 is 19. So 195.
Exactly. You're getting it. And even quick ones like 12 times 12.
Right. 2 times 2 is 4. 12 plus 2 is 14. So 144. Easy.
And even with slightly bigger carries like 14 times 19.
Okay. 14 times 19. Let's see. 4 times 9, 36. Write down 6, carry 3.
Right.
Then 14 plus 9 is 23. Add the carried 3. Makes 26.
There you go.
Combine it. 266. Okay, that's genuinely neat. So what's the the underlying trick here? It feels like it's not magic, but a clever rearrangement.
You're spot on. This teen's trick is really just elegant algebra. When you multiply 10 plus A by 10 plus B, you usually get 100 plus 10A plus 10B plus AB.
Right, the old FOIL method or similar.
Exactly. Yeah. This trick essentially regroups those terms into something like 10 times 10 plus A plus B plus the AB part. It simplifies the mental steps.
Ah, okay. So you're handling the tens and the units separately, but in a combined way.
Precisely. It just makes that specific calculation pattern much more intuitive.
That teens trick is a fantastic example then, like a specialized tool in the mental toolbox.
Yeah.
But what if we want something broader? That brings us to Vedic mathematics, right? A whole system.
Yes, Vedic mathematics.
Yeah.
It's a set of rules, often called sutras, for quick computation. Now, its direct connection to the ancient Hindu texts, the Vedas, is, it's debated by historians.
Okay.
But its effectiveness for mental calculation is pretty well established. It's important to note, though, these methods are generally best for doing math in your head.
Right, not necessarily for showing your work in school the way they grade the process.
Exactly that. The specific calculation path might differ from standard methods.
Okay, so let's explore some Vedic rules. The first one is for a specific case. When the first digits of two numbers are the same and the last two digits sum to 10.
Correct. And this technique, along with several others we'll touch on, falls under a broader Vedic principle called vertical and crosswise.
Vertical and crosswise. Okay, what does that actually mean in practice?
Essentially, it's a way of visualizing the digits. You line them up and think about multiplying vertically, like the digits directly above each other, and crosswise, diagonally.
Ah, okay.
This lets you multiply and add in a streamlined way that minimizes holding lots of intermediate numbers in your head. Really useful for multi-digit stuff.
Got it. So for this specific rule, same first digit, last digit, sum to 10, how does vertical and crosswise apply there?
For this particular scenario, the method simplifies nicely. First, take the common first digit, add 1 to it, and then multiply that result by the original first digit. That's the first part of your answer.
Okay.
Second, just multiply the last digits, the units digits of both numbers together. That forms the second part.
Right.
And finally, you just stick those two parts together.
Okay, example time. Source gives 47 times 43. First digits are both 4.
Yep.
Last digits, 7 and 3, sum to 10. Perfect.
Fits the rule.
Okay, step 1. 4 plus 1 times 4. So 5 times 4 is 20. That's my first part. Step 2, multiply last digits. 7 times 3 is 21. Second part, combine them. 20, okay. 21. Wow, that is remarkably straightforward.
It is. And the why behind it, if you're curious, is again algebra. If you have numbers like 10a plus b and 10a plus c,
right,
where a is the same first digit and b plus c 10,
right,
the standard multiplication simplifies really neatly because of that b plus c 10 condition. This rule just captures that simplification directly.
Turns a multi-step process into basically two simple calculations. Very neat. And just to be clear, like you said, both conditions have to be met, right? Same first digit and last digit summing to 10.
Absolutely critical. That's a common point where people might misapply it initially. Knowing when to use the right tool is key.
Good point. Okay, so moving on to something a bit more maybe advanced but powerful, Vedic rule 2. This is for numbers close to a power of 10, like 100 or 1,000, still using vertical and crosswise.
Yes, it's another application of that principle. It handles numbers near a base, like 100, 1,000, etc.
Okay, this sounds like it could get tricky. Listeners, you might want to visualize this with us, maybe even pause if you're trying it mentally. Expert, walk us through subrule 2a when both numbers are under the power of 10.
My pleasure. Let's take it step by step. First, find the difference between each number and that power of 10. So how far below 100, for example?
Okay, the gap.
Exactly, the gap. Next, subtract one of those differences crosswise from the other number. So number 1 minus difference 2 or number 2 minus difference 1. Either way, it gives the same result.
Right, crosswise subtraction.
That gives you the first part of your answer. Then you multiply the two differences, the two gaps you found in step 1.
Okay.
That gives you the second part of your answer. Finally, combine the two parts. But be careful with carries.
Carries.
Yeah, if the second part, the product of the differences has more digits than the base allows for, like for base 100, you expect 2 digits. If you get 3, you carry the leading digit.
Oh. Okay, let's illustrate. 95 times 82, both near 100.
Right, step 1, differences from 100. 100 minus 95 is 5. 100 minus 82 is 18.
Okay, 5 and 18.
Step 2. So track crosswise. 95 minus 18 is 77, or you could do 82 minus 5, also 77.
Got it. 77 is the first part.
Step 3, multiply the differences. 5 times 18 is 90.
90, that's the second part. Two digits, so no carry issue here for base number.
Correct. Step 4, combine them. 77, 90, so 77, 90.
Wow, okay, that was smoother than I expected for 95 times 82.
It works well. Now let's try one with a carry. How about 95 times 74? Again, near 100.
Okay, 95 by 74.
Step 1, differences. 100 minus 95 is 5. 100 minus 74 is 26.
5 and 26.
Step 3, multiply differences. 5 times 26, that's, 130.
130. Three digits. Base is 100, needs 2, so the 1 is a carry.
Exactly, the 1 is a carry. Step 4, combine. You add that carried 1 from 130 to the 69 from step 2. So 69 plus 1 is 70.
Okay, so.
And the 30 from 130 remains the last two digits, so the combined result is 70. 73.
Exactly. That's really clear how the carry works. You add it to the first part. Okay, so that's for numbers under power of 10. How does it change if they're over?
Good question. That's subrule 2b. Very similar logic, but instead of finding the difference below the base, you find the difference above it. Instead of subtracting crosswise, you add crosswise.
Add crosswise, okay.
So the steps. 1, find the difference, number minus the power of 10, how much over. 2, add 1 difference crosswise to the other number. That's your first part. 3, multiply the two differences. That's your second part. 4, combine, watching for carries just like before.
Okay, example, 106 times 110, both near 100.
Right, step 1, Differences above 100. 106 minus 100 is 6. 110 minus 100 is 10.
6 and 10.
Step 2. Add crosswise. 106 plus 10 is 116. Or 110 plus 6 is 116.
116. First part.
Step 3. Multiply differences. 6 times 10 is 60.
60. Second part. Two digits, so no carry for base 100.
Correct. Step 4. Combine 116, 60. So 11, 16, 60.
The consistency there is really something. Add when over, subtract when under. Makes sense. Vedic math clearly offers some incredibly powerful adaptable rules, especially with that vertical and crosswise idea weaving through. But our sources also bring up another amazing system. This one has an incredible human story behind it. Not ancient texts, but pure, desperate ingenuity.
The Trachtenberg system.
Yes, the Trachtenberg system. Developed in the 1940s by Jocko Trachtenberg, a Russian engineer. And the story, well, it's quite remarkable. He invented this entire system while he was imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp.
Wow. In a concentration camp.
Yes. He created it, refined it, even taught it to fellow prisoners. It was a way to keep their minds active, sharp, really preserve their sanity in, you know, unimaginable conditions.
That's incredible. It puts a whole different perspective on mental calculation, doesn't it? More than just numbers.
It absolutely does. It's a powerful testament to human ingenuity. The system itself allows for very fast mental or sometimes semi-written calculations, even with large numbers.
How does it work? Is it similar to Vedic? It's different. It relies more on memorizing specific rules for different multipliers, aiming to minimize having to remember intermediate results. There are a couple of core concepts you need for Trachtenberg. First, the neighbor. That's simply the digit immediately to the right of the digit you're currently working on.
Okay.
And you imagine leading and trailing zeros at the start and end of the number. So the neighbor of the last digit is zero.
Got it. Zeros at the ends.
Second, halving. When a rule says half the neighbor, you have it and always round down. So half of 7 is 3, half of 6 is 3.
Round down.
A third, adding 5 if odd. Often, if the current digit you're working on is odd, the rule will tell you to add 5. This usually compensates for the rounding down and the halving step.
Okay, neighbor, halving, round down, add 5 if odd. Feels like learning a code.
It kind of is. These rules let you process digits almost locally without massive intermediate sums.
All right, let's try multiplication by 5 using Trachtenberg. Listeners, this might feel like flexing a new brain muscle, so follow along.
Okay, the rule for multiplying by 5 is, for each digit, take half of its right neighbor. If the current digit is odd, add 5. Start from the rightmost digit. Let's try. 872
times 5. 872
times 5. Start with the 2. Its right neighbor is imaginary 0 months. Half of 0 is 0, 2 is even, so no adding 5. Result digit.
Okay, 0.
Move a 7. It's odd. Its right neighbor is 2. Half of 2 is 1. Since 7 is odd, add 5. So 1 plus 5 is 6. Result digit.
6. Got it.
Move to 8. It's even. Its right neighbor is 7. Half of 7 rounded down is 3. 8 is even, so no adding 5. Result digit, 3.
3.
Finally, the imaginary leading 0. Its right neighbor is 8. Half of 8 is 4. 0 is even. Result digit, 4.
4.
Read the digits from last to first. 4, 3.6.
0, 360.
Okay, I can see the system. It's very procedural. My brain feels a bit like it's running code now.
Yeah.
What about multiplying by 6? That sounds like it might combine steps.
It does, slightly more complex. For multiplying by 6, for each digit, add the digit itself to half of its right neighbor. Then, if the current digit is odd, add 5. And watch for carries. Okay, add digit plus half neighbor plus 5 if odd. Let's try. 741 times 6.
Good example. 741 times 6. Start with 1 if odd. It's odd. Neighbor is 0, so 1 digit plus half of 0, which is 0 plus 5, because 1 is odd. It's 1 plus 0 plus 5 is 6. Result digit.
6.
Move to 4. It's even. Neighbor is 1. So 4 digit plus half of 1, rounded down, is 0. That's 4 plus 0 plus 0, 4. Result digit, 4.
Four.
Move to 7. It's odd. Neighbor is 4. So 7 digit plus half of 4, which is 2 plus 5, because 7 is odd. That's 7 plus 2 plus 5, will 14.
14. Okay, so result digit is 4, carry 1.
Exactly. Result digit 4, carry 1.
Yes.
Now the imaginary leading 0, neighbor is 7, so 0 digit plus half is 7. Rounded down, it's 3 plus 1, the carry. That's 0 plus 3 plus 1 equals 4. Result digit 4.
4.
Read it back. 4. 4 on my point. 4 but 6. So 44, four. 46.
Okay, so for the 7 and 741, my brain did. 7 plus half its neighbor, 4, so 7 plus 2, 9. Then 7 is odd, so add 5, 9 plus 5, 14. Right, 4, carry 1. Am I tracking that correctly?
Yes, that's perfect. You're breaking it down exactly right, step by step, remembering the odd rule and the carry. It becomes a rhythm with practice.
I can see that, like learning scales on a piano. And there's a Trachtenberg rule for multiplying by 11, too, even three-digit numbers.
Yes, and it's quite neat. Actually overlaps a bit with simpler tricks you might know.
Yeah.
For any number times 11 using Trachtenberg, for each digit, just add it to its right neighbor. Remember the imaginary zeros.
Add the digit to its neighbor. Okay. Let's try 542 times 11.
All right. Start with 2, neighbors level, 2 plus 0 equals 2. Result digit, 2.
Oops.
4, move to 4. Neighbors 2, 4 plus 2 is 6. Result digit, 6.
6.
Move to 5. Neighbors 4, 5 plus 4 is 9. Result digit, 9.
9.
Imaginary leading 0. Neighbors 5, 0 plus 5, result digit, 5.
Yeah.
Read it back, 5, 9, 6, 2. So 5, 9, 62.
5962. That's incredibly slick for 11. It's clear the tractor brick system is comprehensive, much more than these few examples. You mentioned division, adding big numbers.
Yes. It has methods for general multiplication, division, which cleverly uses subtraction in its rules, and even adding long columns of numbers efficiently. It's a whole cohesive system.
A true testament to systematic thinking under pressure. Okay, let's circle back to the Vedic vertical and crosswise for a moment. There's a general rule for multiplying any two-digit numbers, right? Kind of an all-rounder.
That's right. Rule 3, the general vertical and crosswise for two-digit numbers. It's powerful, but maybe a bit more involved mentally than the specific case rules.
How does that one work?
Okay, 3 main steps, creating 3 partial results.
Mm.
1, multiply vertically the first digits of both numbers. That's partial result 1. 2, multiply crosswise and add. First digit of number 1 times second digit of number 2 plus second digit of number 1 times first digit of number 2. Add those products. That's partial result 2.
Look at the crisscross.
Exactly.
Yep.
3, multiply vertically again. The second digits of both numbers. That's partial result 3. Then you combine these 3 results, starting from the right, handling carries as you go.
Right. Let's try 64 times 32. This feels like where vertical and crosswise really flexes. Break it down for us.
Okay. 64 by 32. 1, vertical first digits. 6 times 3 equals 18. Keep that 18.
18.
2, crosswise. 6 times 2 plus 4 times 3. That's 12 plus 12, quiz 24. Keep that 24.
24, got it.
3, vertical, second digits, 4 times 2 equals 8. Keep that 8.
Okay, so my partial results are 18, 24, and 8. Now the combining part. This is where I sometimes get lost.
Right. This is key. Think right to left. The 8 front from the third result, 4 by 2, is your very last digit. Simple enough.
Okay, it ends in 8.
No, look at the middle result, 24. Yeah. Take the units digit, the 4, that's your next digit to the left.
Okay, so 0.48 so far.
But the 2 from the 24 is a carry. Carry it over to the first result, the 18.
Right, carry the 2.
So add that carry 2 to the 18. 18 plus 2 is 20.
20.
And that 20 forms the beginning of your answer. So reading left to right now,
yeah.
20, then the 4, then the 8.
2048.
Yeah.
Okay, seeing it laid out like that 18, 24, 8, then combine right to left with carries, that makes sense. Takes practice, definitely.
It does. It becomes much more fluid over time. And Vedic isn't just multiplication, right? These principles extend.
That's right. Fractions, for example. Adding fractions using vertical and crosswise is surprisingly efficient.
How does that work?
Okay, to add 2 fractions.
1, cross multiply. Numerator of first times, denominator of second, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Numerator 2x, denominator 1. 2, add those 2 results. That's your new numerator. 3, multiply the 2 original denominators together. That's your new denominator.
Okay, let's try 34 plus 15.
Cross multiply. 3 times 5 is 15, and 4 times 1 is 4.
15 and 4.
Add them. 15 plus 4 is 19. New numerator.
19 on top.
Multiply denominators. 4 times 5 is 20.
New denominator.
20 on bottom.
Result, 19, 20. Done.
That is way faster than finding a common denominator the old way sometimes. Yeah. Super efficient.
And subtraction is basically identical, right? Just subtract the cross-multiply results instead of adding.
Exactly. For 34 minus 15, it would be 3 by 5 minus 4 by 1. So 15 minus 4 equals 11 over the same 4 by 5, 20 denominator result, 11, 20.
Very elegant.
And sometimes, even for basic addition, the sources remind us the simplest trick is just breaking numbers down, like 117 plus 242.
You could just do units. 7 plus 2 is 9.
Then the rest. 11 tens hundreds plus 24 tenth hundreds is 35. Combine. 35, 9. So 359. Just chunking it differently.
Right. Makes big sums less intimidating. Oh, and there was that super simple trick for multiplying a two-digit number by 11.
Yes, that one's great.
You just add the 2 digits of the number.
And place the sum right in the middle.
So like 43 times 11.
4 plus 3 is 7.
Put the 7 between the 4 and 3. 4, 7, 3.
Instantaneous. Assuming the sum is less than 10, otherwise there's a small carry rule.
Right, good point. But still, incredibly quick. Now, it's worth saying, not everyone is fully convinced by all these methods for everyday use, are they?
That's true. Some commentators in our sources did find methods like Vedic and Trachtenberg maybe too complicated for quick mental math.
Yeah, arguments like they require remembering too many intermediate results, or it's not a unified principle, you need different rules for different numbers. Some prefer just breaking numbers down logically.
Mm. Which is a completely valid perspective.
Mm.
I mean, traditional school methods are usually designed for clarity when written down. These systems are really optimized for mental calculation, for minimizing what you need to hold in your working memory.
So it's a trade-off sometimes, memorizing specific rules versus a more general, maybe slower approach.
Kind of. And what seems complex initially, well, as one source puts it, Übung macht den Meister. Practice makes perfect.
Right.
With practice, these shortcuts can become incredibly intuitive, almost second nature. But different methods definitely click with different learning styles. What feels complex to one person might feel elegant to another.
That makes sense. It's about finding what resonates with your way of thinking, what feels like a useful tool for you, not just a complicated procedure. My challenge is always tracking those carries.
Ah, yes. The carries are often the tricky bit, but it's all part of strengthening that number sense.
So we've taken quite a journey here. A real deep dive into this amazing toolbox of mental math tricks, from that surprisingly simple teens rule to the really systematic Vedic mathematics.
Vertical and crosswise.
And then the ingenious Trachtenberg system with that incredibly powerful backstory.
Yeah. And remember, these aren't just, you know, parlor tricks to show off. They are genuine pathways to building a stronger number sense, developing a sharper mind.
And just navigating the world around you a bit quicker, more confidently.
Exactly.
And it leaves you thinking, if a system born from such immense suffering, like Trachtenberg's, could simplify complexity and offer this kind of intellectual freedom, what other seemingly impossible mental feats are just waiting for us to unlock? Maybe just by finding a different perspective or, well, a clever trick.
That's a great thought to end on.
So maybe reflect on which of these methods sparked your interest. Which one might you actually try first? See how it could change the way you interact with numbers, even just a little, in your daily life.
Radsport ist mehr als Tour de France. Von Januar bis Oktober, von Australien bis China, fast das gesamte Jahr messen sich die besten Fahrerinnen und Fahrer der Welt. Doch wie wurden die Rennen entschieden? Wer sind die nächsten Superstars? Warum werden die Rennen bei den Frauen so wenig übertragen?
Jeden Sonntag blicken Bent und ich, Lukas, bei Radio Tour zurück auf die vergangene Radsportwoche, analysieren die wichtigsten Rennen der Männer und Frauen und besprechen die Themen abseits des Rads. Dazu gibt es spannende Interviews mit bekannten oder unbekannten Menschen aus dem Sport und zu sportlichen und ernsten Themen. Radio Tour, der Podcast für die Menschen, die Radsport wirklich verstehen wollen.
Bei meinsportpodcast.de und überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.